Well, let's do it this way. All of you are familiar with the insurance story? It's very short to you. You saw it because you don't want. Okay, so I tell you what. You tell me your reading, I tell you my reading, and then we try to adjust the short story to theories. Okay? Sounds okay? So, you tell me what you make up. Forget the theory for the moment. Tell me what. You read the short story, it's very short, very transparent in some way. So, what do you think? What do you make out of this short story? Imagine, forget about one, and then you have already a subject, and you need to make an essay. Let's say a 1,500 words essay. What you are going to say? No background about the author, nothing. Just the short story. What do you do?
It's possible to write that short story without putting the background of the author.
You can assume, yeah, that's true. I mean, you have a lot of meaning coming from who is that author. But what I'm saying is, you assume that it's an autobiographical piece from some author, generic, whatever. So, of course, that will be reduced what you can say in some ways. But let's say that it's a generic. So, under that context, what do you say? What would we? Which one will be the title of your short essay? Come on! I don't know, I mean, associated with whatever you are doing, for example. I mean, when you read a book, your interpretation is connected with what you're doing, basically. I mean, with your background, with it. I don't know, if you are reading one book from Chinese literature, probably you will be having not that many interpretations. Why? Because it's an isolated case. But if you are reading an American, I mean, you have been growing up in this country, more or less, or growing up in an Anglo-Saxon environment, so for you it should be a piece of cake to understand the meaning of this nut. No, nothing. How you do with the other authors? When you first came across a chapter of a particular novel, let's say, and you don't have a clue about the author, what you do? What do you think about that? What you make out of that? Nothing. Blank.
I guess my background.
Okay, what do you guess about this one?
It has a big crisis.
Well, that we can hear that. We can hear that.
He's very pessimistic and in search for truth. About himself, he's looking for himself. Suddenly his world is crashing but he's also very defeatist, if I can say that.
Yeah, that's good, that's a good point. But do you think he's really, really pessimistic? Because at the end of the day he says basically you never came back from this kind of crack, let's put it that way. But at the end, at least you can collect your pieces, basically. Well, he's not saying that, but more or less. So, that sounds...
But the brain still has its uses.
Yeah, exactly. So, I thought that optimist, but it's a way, because it could be worse. Could be saying, the pieces are gone, and, I don't know, and there is no way we can collect them. So, in that sense, but it's true that this is not really... someone who loves springs and certainly is not that case. Yeah. What else?
The crack isn't just a crisis, though. It's a crack between what he thought he would be and what he realizes he has now become.
That is very interesting, because you see, that is a key, because. Basically, he's not saying that, but basically he's saying more important than what I was what I was believing of. And that is crucial, because sometimes it doesn't matter what you are, it's a matter of what you believe, because what you believe gives you the direction. If you lose the direction, you're fucked, basically. Yes, that's what he's saying. So I found that very interesting, because at the end I'll give you the picture of the kind of man we are talking about. We're talking about a man who, before this crack, basically he was a person who believed in projects, because at the end the only person who really believed that the direction is basically became a believer is someone who believes in project, because the only way you can see the horizon as a believer is because you have a project with life. So you see, in that sense, originally he was really, really optimistic, romantic, we can say, because we couldn't say, well, that's a man do not believe in project, believe in living every day, right? And that's it. He never really having relying on, you know, what could be in the future. He will rely more in immediacy, and he didn't. So in that sense, interesting. And from the ethical point of view, that distinction as well helped quite a lot. And we're going to see that later. What else? No? Yeah. But remember, he says there are two kind of... Yeah, that for the, let's say, for the conscious blow, because he's, remember, he says there are two kind of blow, one in which you can at least know, and the other who just suddenly came up, and when you realize, they are already gone. So, I guess, yes, what you are saying could be applicable for the first one. To the second one, well, I don't know, maybe he's more deterministic than pessimistic. He believes that things determine you. Yeah, at the end of the day, that could be considered as a pessimistic way of action, because that will prevent you to do any action because everything has gone, basically. Yeah, that could be. What else? Okay, so I'll show you with a bit very quickly. And then we try to make the dialogue. So I don't know. Yeah. No, my higher hand is completely crap. So, don't worry, I'll translate for you. Yeah, I thought it was going to be bigger. Well, so, this is my first approach. I don't know, this is my way to work, so I don't know, I did it my way. You pick enough from that, whatever you think is useful for you. But I think, we have a text, okay? So if you remember the discussion we have about the level, so I allocate the level. What is different here is that there is an explicit mention that the author is the character, if you want it one way or the other. I mean, we have a narrator, of course, but the character, there is a sort of implicit assumption that they are the same. So we are facing an autobiographical piece. So basically, what we do, the first approach I will do as I said, I will be explore the relation between the narrator and the main character at two levels, a level of the content and a level of the language, if you want. So I will identify, I say, okay, who is the person who is talking? Is an I, is it a third person in general? That will be the first. And then what relation that narrator have with the main character? Is the same? If it's the same, why? What kind of connection? Again, at the level of the language and at the level of the content. The second thing I will do will be seeing the relation between the main character and the author. If there is an indication that the person who is the character is an author, we will try to associate that with the author of the book. In that case, well, you can, of course, you don't need to go to see who was Scott Fitzgerald. You just assume there is a generic author. So what you do is you characterize that author has come up in the text and in the book. You characterize the main character, and then you try to make the connection. And again, the same situation at the language level and the level of the content. And then what the point number three is just to connect these two and to see If the relation between these two is similar to the relation of these two, or if they are different, and if they are different, why? And if they are similar, why? And then if there is something that came up as a new element in the joint of these two relations, then you say it. If there is nothing new, you don't say nothing. So what I'm saying to you is, you have a small introduction, you have a first chapter, and a second chapter, and a conclusion. That's it. You got the essay. That would be the easy way to do it. Zero theory, just a close reading approach. The only thing, you keep the level of analysis, which is important. To be honest with you, if you do this, I will be happy. Of course, I expect you to use some theory, but in the extreme case, if you are against the wall and you say to me, Claudio, I'm completely lost, this at least give you a ground. That with that, you tell me, number one, that you are reading properly, number two, that you can discuss a chapter properly, and number three, and also important, that you can do that respecting the levels. That's it. So, let's go into this short story very quickly. Few details is interesting in the sense in which always, I don't know, maybe you have your way to do, but my way to do is the architecture of a text for me always is fundamental. I need to do of the city, of the town, or the house, or whatever is there, I need to do it. And what I think here is interesting is that you have basically three parts. Number one, this is assuming that it's a journal, okay? So it's a sort of intimate confession. It's something that the narrator is writing for himself. Okay? This is important. How you know that? Very simple. Because there are indications of dates who suggest to you that it is a journal. Because it will be a letter, who could be the other possibility, will be indicated a letter, will be dear, whatever, but there is no letter. And the other element who prove that this is a journal is the content of the short story. The content of the short story is intimate. It's something that you don't tell people. You are not wanting people stopping them and going to say, I'm depressed. You don't do that. Well, you can do it. That would be not maybe such a good idea. Well, there are some people who do that anyway. But it's not a case. Okay? That's the first point. It's a journal. So you can extract your conclusion of that. I mean, the context that you can give to the short story is interesting, because if we assume it's an autobiographical piece, we are assuming that it's delivering in one way as a sort of project. And this is the other thing, project in the sense in which, you see, I mean, let's assume this is the life of the narrator, or if you want, of the character. So what this text is suggesting is that this author is cutting a piece of his life and putting dates just to make sure that we have a sort of evolution and tell you what happened there. So why this is important is because he's assuming that he have a line in his life and a project. But what is interesting is that the text contradict this assumption. Why? Because he's saying, I lost my life, I don't have direction, I'm fucked up, basically what he's saying. But the assumption is that you are reading a theoretical piece of someone who believe, have a chronological evolution in the life, and is so believing that, they put dates. Because what other sense will have to have a intimate journal with dates that you believe that that is important? Because imagine, if you are writing a journal, it's because you believe that what you are doing, what you are thinking, is important, and you want to tell that to someone. Meaning, you have a clear strategy, you have a direction, and you have something to say. So what I found interesting is that this structure, this formal structure, contradicts absolutely what is the guy is saying. Because the guy is saying, I don't have direction, I don't have any project anymore, and I don't know where I'm going. And more important, I don't care where I'm going. My interest to have a clear picture of where I'm going is lost forever. So, conclusion, why we can speculate why the author did that. Well, I think he explicitly made this as a journal structure to make more strong the point he's making in the short story, because you get more astonished by the contradiction, you see. So on making this, I think he's making the point more stronger than he was using a simple short story. That is the first main point about this. The second main point is the way in which he suggested, in some case with a subtitle and another implicitly, what is about each piece. You see, you have three pieces there. One is, if you want, the setup in one way or the other. The other is, you know, be nice or diagnosis, if you want, in one way or the other. And the other is how we can collect things in one way or the other. You see, only with that, you have already a theory, one of the theories that we have in discussing. I mean, we didn't discuss it explicitly, but was implicit there. I mean, if you think this is an individual, and I ask you, from which period, from which century, this individual will be coming from, will be not that, but this man is a postmodern man. Why? Because he was having a project, then he was getting broken pieces, and what is the project of life for him? Well, it makes sense of one or two pieces. So the idea of modernity is gone. The idea that your life, psychologically speaking, you are a strong person, could be a Freudian approach, already gone. So the only thing you have is a man who don't have identity. The subjectivity of the man is under question, and he's definitely trying to make of these pieces some sense. So the more easy way to approach this, you will say, well, this is a postmodern individual. Is someone who have a sort of identity crisis. And what you do with that theory, well, you explain. I can tell you, you can do it easily. How we can characterize the postmodern individual through this short story. You put down the elements, and that's it. You go there, say. You quote them, I don't know, whatever you will be picking up. I mean, the text we were seeing here, you can quote the Otar, or you can go for one of these guideline, this sort of collection anthology about postmodernism, and picking up here and there some chapters. I mean, there are several ways to do it, but that's the easy way. So look, this is more evidence, if you want. You see, one thing that I found in the language interesting is that at the beginning, he's talking about life. So there is a suggestion that individual and life are the same thing. Basically, you are alive because you have an identity. I think that in the language is interesting. Because at the end, he's not talking about anymore about an individual. He's keep talking about life, but no individual. That means that the connection between life and individual is broken. The fact that you are alive means that you are not living. It's not an immediate connection. You see, there is this kind of joke he made, and I think that is important. So what he's saying, and this is what I say, that maybe he's not that pessimistic, I say, to keep living, to keep myself alive somehow, I need to figure out a unit. I cannot operate as an individual with all these fragments. I need at least to have a minimal unit, and that is what he called it, the inner hush. No? So the idea that you need to preserve yourself, so you need this minimum is necessary. And then it's when there is some kind of a connection with this minimum, who is coming from the idea that there are two blows, the one that you remember, if you want, in one way, and the one that they just, you know it, and they're coming up, and that's it. So the suggestion is that you probably can connect the ones that you remember with the idea that you need some fragments, even if you don't like it. So this idea that maybe you can work out your mind to come back from this crisis. What is this? This is Freud. So you can make an interpretation using Freud approach, playing this way, in the sense in which you have a part of consciousness, you have a part of unconsciousness. This one you can connect it, because what is going to be the psychoanalysis for you is going to be the methodology to, using what you remember, reconstruct yourself as individual. That's pure Freud, if you will. Of course, you can do more sophisticated and the, using the fact that this narrator is a writer, you can use Lacan. Because Lacan, as I mentioned to you, was discussing this idea, put at extreme the idea of Freud, and saying that we have this kind of chain, narrative chain, in our unconsciousness, is a narrative chain. So what more easy for you than to associate a writer who keep writing, as he says, to make sense to himself. So that's Lacan. That's Lacan. Lacan says we need to make sense to ourselves. How we do that? Using narrations. And we make a narration of our own mind. That's it. Yeah. So the other interesting thing I figured out is this idea that that in your mind you have two things. You have the impossible and the opposite to the impossible. Let's say he didn't say what is always possible, but the idea that there are things that you can do and things that you cannot do, and the idea that these two things drive you in different directions. But the trouble is that you have the two at the same time. So the question is for him, what direction he should take? The direction of having an impossible that doesn't matter because you make your own in the way to the impossible, or the way that you, yeah, certainly you can achieve. So you see, so that is have them at the same time is the trouble. So basically he says a very philosophical man, what we'll do, we'll be able to manage both at the same time. He said that explicitly. That will be a philosophical approach. That will be a philosophical man who keep this in equilibrium. So, the conclusion he made is very clear. He said, life is a project that always fails. That is very clear. So, you can say that, you can set this as a... using an existentialist approach. Why? Because you have an existential notion of life, negative one. God is dead, so you don't have any hope to have any redemption. So what is the story of the life of the people? What Camus used to say, fall. You fall constantly, you know? The shit, la caída, always is that, you know? So that is that, very simple. So what alternative has an existentialist made you have? Well, you have two. You believe that there is an utopia, Jean-Paul Sartre, believe you have an utopia, political utopia if you want, and we need to follow. We know that we never are going to achieve the utopia. That's not matter. It's the way, is the if you want, the street that we make searching that utopia, who is the existentialist life. And that is what is important. You can analyze that in that sense. Or either you can say, no, we need to be empirical. We need to achieve what we can achieve, which is, if you want, is existentialism more oriented to Camus, Emmanuel Mounier, an example, who were more oriented to some kind of religion. I mean, all the Christian existentialism, if you want, more clear. In the sense in which we are existentialists, we don't believe in any redemption of life. We are falling as an individual, but we need to achieve what is immediate to us. And that's our the practical aspect, if you want, in one way or the other. For example, in the case of this main character, writing. He's falling apart, he's in pieces, he's desperate, but he's doing one thing, and he's not stopping on doing that, writing. So that activity became the existentialist central of gravitation for him. And this is existentialism. Remember, if you remember Sartre was saying, what made different an existentialist person than another one who is not an existentialist believer is the fact that the existentialist people picking up on a sort of task or work or something and build up themselves around that task. And this will be the case of the writer. And I love this one. I mean, the metaphor of the dish, I think, is fantastic. Well, you know, he is a metaphor of Adi saying, imagine me as a sort of plate, you know, who in some ways has broken down, and I didn't trash it. Or it's interesting because this is the other thing. He is ambiguous in the way he's saying that. He didn't say he didn't trash it. He said, you can interpret it in two ways. He trashed it and he keep the bin. Or he didn't trash it and have the pieces. You see, the two ways is some kind of recycling the trash, no? Because this is postmodern in one way or the other. Because what the theory of postmodernism was saying is that the modernity has a project fail in society, and we are trying to do now is collect the pieces and deal with the trashes. I mean, the trashes could be in ecological sense or in individual sense. So that is the non-project of postmodernity, just to try to make sense of the disaster that modernity left to us. So, the idea, basically this is a sort of a scheme of what happened in the whole short story. You have a project of life, then you try to construct, because you have a project of life, you try to have some kind of biography, and we know that because he is trying to make this journal, in one way or the other, and then he have a crack. And the crack, he say, this is very funny, he said, force him to think. I mean, this is hilarious. I mean, he's saying basically that in one way or the other, only a crisis make you think. What is this? This is Marx. Marx specifically was saying the only moment in which people who are in a high level of society, let's say bourgeois, one other statement, one other people who are not working class, the only moment in which people are conscious or became conscious of the place that they occupy in society is when there is a crisis, when these people became aggressive. In that case, these people have two possibilities. Or they became more extreme right people against the revolution, or they made themselves revolutionaries. You see? So, using this scheme, you can say from a Marxist classic point of view, this is a classical story of a healthy man who had a crisis, and through this crisis became conscious of the place he occupied in society. And more important, became aware of the parasite life that he was carrying on. That would be in a very Marxist description. So, let's say that this idea within the short story, this project, this moment between the let's say the project of life through the biographical aspect to the crack is done by a narration. I mean, is a narrative aspect who give you an idea of the biographical dimension of this person. So narration is important there. And of course you can say to me, Claudio, this is because we talk about a writer, and because he is a writer, he think writing is important in his life. It's not only that, it's the fact that he believed that the only way he can have some sense of life is through writing. And this is more, I mean, not all of the writer thinks in that way. So between the, let's say, the crack and the force to think, there is a period of silence. Or more important, he says more specifically that this is this non-capability to say something about himself who forced him to the silence, and because the silence made him desperate, he was forced to think. You see? So here again, you can use different theory. You can use Freud. So you have the moment of the diagnosis, the moment of psychoanalysis. You think about what happened yourself, because that thinking, you became, for good reasons or bad reasons, conscious of what happened to you. That could be Freud, or even could be considered as a Marx. Remember, I explained to you there were one or two theories in which people entangled Marx with Freud. Well, this could be a case. And then what I think is interesting is that he says, this crack made me different. And not different because I think I changed things in a positive or negative way. No, I'm another person. I lost my past. I'm another person. I'm not different. I'm another person, which is completely different. So, you can think that maybe the only way he was able to talk about this past that he lost was exactly using this idea of writing and making some kind of chronology, because otherwise it would be impossible. The letters, if you want, or the paragraph. So again, this idea of another person could be considered as a sort of Freud or Marxist approach, in the sense in which you make yourself different. You produce a revolution, and the revolution do not only change society, changes well people. And as well the same for psychoanalysis, you know, I mean, there are some cases in psychoanalysis in which, well, extreme cases anyway, but in which the doctor or the person who was in charge of the treatment was suggesting to the patient to change the name, because that was a way in which he was taking a distance from what he was thinking he was and make him more relaxed to talk about what he thinks he was. So this idea of double personality working in this way. So again, you can have that. I mean, maybe you can say the only way this man can put away his past is to think him and he is different and even change the name. He says he changed the name. And he I think it's Ward. So, another thing that an example you can focus is in the idea of crack. Why? Because crack, if you remember the theories we were discussing, all of them talk about all revolution, all crisis, or in each theory there is an element of change. Yeah, the change could be violent or could be in the sense of evolution, but always there is this kind of point or non-turning point. So, in that sense, you can pick up the idea of crack within the short story and apply whatever theory you would like to. In that sense, you have three types of crack within the short story, and he is specific on that. He says, that happened in the body, that happened in the head, and that happened in the mind. So, you see, it's up to you to decide which ones of those you would like to focus on, or you can focus on the three. An example, you can make a sort of structuralist approach and saying, well, for this crisis, these three elements are important. So you can develop one and the other as elements of an individual. But then, using the same short story, you can try to see the social context of each one of those cracks and say, what happened there? Of course, you need to go a little bit as constitutional if you want, or the rest of the short story, or at least other pieces, the geographical pieces. But using that, you can construct this sort of social environment for one of these elements. And of course, I mean, as more you evolve within theories in the 20th century, more abstract you are going to go. So if the crisis is having a look in the body, well, probably you will be looking at someone who have to do with first Freud, or who had to do with Marx, in the sense in which within the body you basically manifest what happened to your mind. If you were a little bit more sophisticated, well, you have all these ideas about the romantic idea about change your mind, to change the perception of life, change the perception about love, politics, or whatever. So in that sense you go basically close to existentialism. But then you go to the, if you want, to the more extreme, which is the mind, the idea of, if you remember we discussed in postmodernism, the idea of idealism, the fact that what you have in your mind is the world around you. The world do not exist. Matter doesn't matter. What matters is what you have here. So you have the world of mind, this idea of world in your mind. So then probably will be the more sophisticated part. And then there are some interesting let's say statement, in the sense in which there are elements that you can pick up. This is life is a narrative offensive. This is typical from a writer. My way to protect myself, my way to defend myself, is a sort of attacking, but attacking in writing, not because I have a strong psychological profile, but because in a provocative sense, I'm saying what happened to me in writing. So he says that he sees himself well. And there is an interesting, very, very interesting point, which it could be as well analyzed from a postmodern, I mean, in my view, is a more obvious one, is the idea of vitality that is non-communicable. So, if you are alive, this vitality has two meanings. One, the fact that you are alive in the whole sense, you know, that you are happy what you are doing, that kind of alive. But the other is alive in the sense of sensibility, in a sense of perception. Alive means that you have perception about everything, very, very subtle perception. He's saying that you can have that, but the problem with that is that you cannot communicate that. So what do you do? What you do if you are an extreme sensible person who perceive everything around you, but you know you cannot communicate that? Well, that's his idea of postmodernism. That we are, remember, I explained to you, this scheme, remember, from Jacobson. Jacobson was this Russian linguist who went to the state, and he created this kind of way to describe communication, grounded on five or seven functions, okay? That is the emissor, if you want, and this is the reception. So, looking at this different possibility, according you put the accent of a particular function or another, he was making this classification of communication. But what is more important wasn't, I think it was the fifth, I don't remember, the emphatical function was the one who was concentrated not in the content of the message but in the channel. You see, example, you picking up the phone, hello, you are not talking, you are checking the channel. That function in linguistics is called emphatical function. What means that a lot of people like Aryatar and other people says that our postmodern life is characterized by this type of communication. We don't talk with people. We don't transmit information. We are constantly checking the channel. Why? Because we don't trust each other. And this is what happened to the men. The men believing that he cannot, even if he wants to, communicate this vitality. So what he's doing anyway? Checking the channel. Say, are you there? Are you there? Are you listening to me? Zero content information. So basically says, conclusion, you have it or you don't. So you have the confidence that you have the vitality even if it's useless. And probably this is one of the few suggestions who explain why he is a writer. He didn't discuss that, it's a very short story. But in any way, there is a suggestion that the reason why he is writing, even if he has a crisis, is not only because the writing gives him some kind of identity, it's as well because it keeps him alive. You see, because he knows it. That's a kind of suggestion there. Finally, this other thing, I think this is very, very interesting as well. And you have so many possibilities, but I think this is with this element is the best possibility that you can produce an hermeneutic analysis. Why? Because the guy says, I'm the subject, and this is an object, if you will, in one way or the other. No? So this object is a sad object. I mean, produce me sadness. But what he's saying is that he is not sad because in this planet there are sad projects. He's sad because he is sad about the sad objects. You see, where is he? He's here. He has a problem now with the fact that in this planet exist things who are sad. He would say, that is normal. The problem is that he cannot be happy about that. You see, so how we can explain this? How we can explain that we have a man here, a subject, and we have an object? And the communication between the two and the relation between the two is not either here or is not either here. It's in the middle, in the communication. Who explained that? Hermeneutics. Why? Because hermeneutics say the truth about a person is not in the person, is not in the object, is in the relation between the two. And you can use Paul Ricoeur, you can use Gadamer, doesn't matter. The basic is there. So that could be allow you to go into a sort of kind of hermeneutic analysis of this short story. So, what came up from this sort of interaction is the eye, no? So the eye, who in one way is cracking, then is coming back. And because it's coming back in some pieces, you have the sensation that you have a sort of clean break, okay? So you are another person. Then the past do not exist or cease to exist, but there is at least this kind of certainty. I'm working. But I'm not working because I am a person. I'm working because I need money. This is interesting as well. because person for him will be someone who have an identity, who have an sort of project, and so on. So this is pure postmodern, if you want, as well. What give you identity are the symbols. What is one of the most important symbols in this planet? Money. So he says something like, I need to make my living, or something like that. I don't remember exactly. But he is specific on this. I'm working, working give me some kind of identity, but working do not make me a person. Questions? You see? Piece of cake. And I tell you, I mean, it's like, I don't know, I mean, I knew the short story, that's why I chose it, but was, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years I didn't come back to the short story, so probably you have better readings than me. So what do you think? You see, there are different ways. I mean, of course, as I said, I mean, it's better if you can produce a nice or can show within your essay or can deliver some kind of theory applied to whatever aspect you choose. But if you really are getting trouble, even a close reading done properly, it's a nice job. I mean, it will be enough. But as I say, you need to have these three elements, you know. Mm-hmm. Especially the one who referred to the level of analysis. But to be honest with you, if you do this, let's say, this close reading essay with the level of analysis, then will be just one afternoon to work out what kind of theory you can attached to that, because it will be so easy. I mean, because I don't know how you work, but what I'm working is, I work at two levels. First I read a short story, then I make my mind. What is my interpretation? I take my notes, whatever. Of course I associate with theories at the same time I'm reading, but that doesn't matter that much to me. And the second stage, as far as I have 4 or 5 pages, I go to the theory and I say, okay, what I have, 5 pages. What is what I say in those 5 pages? I say, that connects with what theory? Because let me put this, you need to have the horse on the front of what needs to be. You can not put the horse on the back, you see, if you want to have a direction. So what is important is that you choose the theory, of course, because you have some sympathy with the theory or you agree with the theory, but because you can use it. Don't try to pick up a theory and make it applicable. That's not going to work. It won't be that way, because there are texts who allow you on a more, I don't know, sophisticated theory, and there are texts who are more dry and do not allow you to make a funny analysis or a picking up a really sophisticated idea. So my view is that it's your basic reading of the text who tell you what kind of theoretical approach you can have, and not the opposite way around, because you know you are going to have really, really bad nights. So that should be easy. Okay? Questions? No questions. So at what stage you are? Well, I know you are almost done. What about you with the essay? Half of the way through? No. 1/3? 20%? 50%?
I have another essay to finish.
And then you will be okay. Bueno, we do it 26. Okay. Yeah. I will be telling, I think I did already, but I will be checking again. What about you?
I've read it, but it's not really good.
That's not a matter. The important thing is to have there something. Okay? Okay. Well, that's it. We're finished. So, please, don't think that there are important questions and a stupid question. All the questions are important. I promise you. So don't prevent yourself to contact me because you think what you are going to ask me you feel is not really relevant. No, don't do that, because that would be a mistake. Everything is relevant when you are doing an essay. Probably at the end, when you finish the essay, I will agree with you that there are changes that are important and changes who are less important. But at the moment you are, everything could be important. So, I mean, take me one line, two lines, or three lines, or if you send me a piece, I send you back you as a PDF with the comments. I don't mind that. I can do that very quickly.
Let me ask you, if you want to use just some theory, just sort of, if you apply it in your notes, etc., should you refer to it in an essay, or should you just sort of say what you found, or like I was saying with my essay?
Yeah.
There are some sort of elements like where you can sort of apply certain bits and it works to a certain extent and doesn't.
Yeah.
Should you overtly refer to the formalism structure in the sense?
That's very, very, very pertinent question. To be honest with you, what I think, number one, what is important is the consistency of your essay. I mean, if your essay is there, your arguments are there, and it's consistent, the fact that you refer a particular author or theory is not going to change that much. But, however, I need to acknowledge that there are colleagues who believe that the consistency of an essay is connected with the reference that you made to a particular work. You see, not for me, because I think what is important for me are your ideas, but I believe that some colleagues believe that really your work, to be consistent, need to have a part of in which you refer to someone. Yeah, you see? So, basically, conclusion, what you do? Well, if you are aware of a theory when you are writing or making an analysis, make a reference, a general reference to the theory. Either you quote the book, or either you quote the part of the book you think are there. If you are not aware, that's it. I mean, if I remember when you were comment Prop, you were comment. I say to you that Prop was doing that, but I was not sure if you were aware who was Prop. In that case, if you are not aware, you don't care. You cannot be aware about everything. I mean, we roughly have here in a panoramic about different theory. I mentioned to you maybe 20, 25 names who are the biggest in this theory that we were looking for. That's it. If you are working that and you think that you are touching or referring to something that Harv was discussing or something, put the reference. I mean, also because make it stronger in the sense in which even if someone would like to question your argument, the fact that you are putting some reference make it stronger in your point. So prevent you to someone to say, oh, that's, where is that coming from? You see? So it's a matter to be clever as well, especially because if you have the reading, use everything. You see, remember what I said to you the first class? Essay is in a sort of a strategy document in which you show not only your ideas, but you also show the information you have, how clever you are to deliver things. It's a sort of anthology of what you are, Isaac. So don't use only one thing, let's say the information. Don't deliver to me information only. Deliver to me all those elements, put together. Of course, you say to me, well, that's difficult, Claudia. Yes, but that is the sense of the essay, in which you combine all those elements. It's like a symphony, you know? So don't think in, I don't know, Claudio Monteverdi, think in Wagner. Right, okay, that's it. So, at some point, doesn't matter when, but before you just disappear, I would like to have some feedback for you, whatever. Tell me what you think. Honestly, I don't care. You see me? Probably what we do was completely crap or no, honestly, because that is useful for me. So you're doing whatever way you want. Just dropping me a piece of paper with your name or without, if you feel as you wish. You can drop it in my pigeonhole. If not, send it by email. But real things, I mean, thinking which, I mean, if you are, of course, if you're complaining, but what I'm saying is, think we can change to make this better. I mean, especially because you have experience with the course. Maybe you can say to me, look, what that your colleague did that, and that was okay, and maybe that you didn't do that, and maybe that can help. Because you see, this is a difficult course always, because normally you are not that many, in which case, it's good for you, but for me, makes things difficult because when I have many people feel encouraged to participate more. When I have less people, well, that's not. But the other thing, which is more important than this, is the fact that this is a theoretical course. Every time you talk with a student about theory, students get panicked. They say, what we do? What is the meaning of theory? And so on and so on. So, my job here is two. Number one, make a sort of the mitigation of what is theory and put theory in the correct place, as far as I know. And number two is to tell you what is theory, replacing that idea. So, you tell me if you succeed with that or no, because that is important. Because if no, I need to change slightly. I plan to change anyway, some kind of bibliography, and I do that every year. But anyway, that's it. So, good luck.